morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. So this is the beginning of week two of the KSFR Fun Drive. If you haven't contributed yet, we would like to ask you to do so now, and we've got some great reasons for you to do so this hour. I'd like to introduce Jamie Cobb, Dr. Jamie Cobb. He's a doctor of oriental medicine and doctor of chiropractic. Welcome.
Good morning, MC. Good morning.
Good to have you here. We're going to be talking today to T.R. Reed, who has written a book called, which isn't out yet, it's not going to be out for several months, called The Healing of America, which looks at the healthcare systems in all sorts of different countries and why it is that they are able to have universal healthcare and we're not, and what lessons we can draw from that. The number here, and you can get, he did a wonderful frontline documentary about this, looking at a whole bunch of different countries, and you can actually get this documentary if you make a contribution today to KSFR for a mere $75. I also, the interview that you're about to hear is very edited, so if you would like to hear the whole interview, you can make a contribution of only $35 to KSFR. The number is 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, and we're going to have a little report from the control room right now.
Real quick, Mary Charlotte, and good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
It's been a nice morning, and we have made our $1,500 match. In fact, we made a little bit more than that, and thank you all for contributing to that effort this morning. It is the second week, and we're going to wrap this up this week with your help, so please do call us.
428-1393. And by the way, we're doing one of those. We've done this in the past. If you want the Frontline DVD, which is actually a nice PBS package that you will get, and the CD of the entirety, the 50-minute program from today, you can, for a contribution of $100 to KSFR, get both of those things. So the number is 428-1393. Jamie, you work in the so-called complementary or alternative fields, which for a lot of people, especially in this town, are the mainstream. You must see a lot of people who don't have health insurance at all.
In fact, that's the case. Many people don't have health insurance, and one of the concerns, when we do have a universal healthcare system in the United States, is that it would cover the sorts of therapies that people are seeking here in New Mexico, that people have been using traditionally for, you know, literally generations.
And the problem with that is, for some people, that works great, and that actually keeps them healthy, and there are many people who have made a decision to stay healthy, but then when somebody needs their appendix out or something, mm-hmm. That's not really something that a chiropractor can do.
Absolutely not. And so we need to have a tiered system, one that works, you know, by teaching people how to stay healthy in the first place, but also can back them up in the event of a health crisis.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. How did you decide to go into healthcare? Was it a calling for you?
It was. Actually, at a very young age, I had started in a jiu-jitsu system, a Japanese martial arts style that taught shiatsu, the finger pressure massage. And I found that it was just very wonderful thing to be able to help people feel better in their bodies and be healthier.
Let's turn to T.R. Reed and this interview. And as you listen to it, please think about the importance of public radio in your own life and make a contribution, if you haven't yet, to KSFR. 505-428-1393. And let's go. I'd like to welcome T.R. Reed. He's an American foreign correspondent for The Washington Post and author of 9 books. He's currently working on a 10th titled The Healing of America. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. Delighted to be here.
So The Healing of America is a book based on the reality that the United States is number 37 around the world in healthcare. That's a pretty low ranking for this wealthy country with such great technology and supposedly good healthcare.
Yeah, it's striking, isn't it? We're the richest, most powerful country in history. We lead the world in almost every area of medical research. And yet when it comes to providing healthcare to our people, as you said, the World Health Organization rated us 37th. We have great health care in America, and, you know, Arab sheiks fly to the Mayo Clinic to get treated. They could go anywhere in the world. But we also leave a lot of people out. According to the National Academy of Sciences, About 20,000 Americans die every year of treatable diseases because they can't afford to see a doctor in the richest country in the world. That really bugs me. I think that's terrible that we let that happen.
What are those diseases, those treatable diseases that people are dying of here? I mean, in other countries, you think of diarrhea and cholera and malaria and things like that.
Well, in poor countries, yeah. No, what happens is Americans get these chronic diseases, diabetes, lupus, et cetera. These are treatable diseases. Modern medicine knows how to give you a life. Lupus strikes mainly women in their 20s. And with the proper medical regime, 80% of them live a normal lifespan. They live to be 80 years old. Some Americans die of this disease because you got to go to a doctor and you got to take drugs, and that takes money. And the people who tend to die in America because they can't see a doctor are people who have too much money to be on Medicaid and too little money to pay for the drugs. They're kind of the in-between Americans. And I think most Americans don't know this is happening. I think most Americans would say, yeah, anybody in our country who's sick can see a doctor. It's not true. You know how many people die of treatable diseases in Canada? Zero. How many in Britain? Zero. France? Zero. Germany? Zero. Japan? Zero. Other countries don't let it happen. But our country has never made the commitment to provide everybody health care who needs it. And then the other thing is, according to Harvard, about 700,000 Americans go bankrupt every year for medical bills. That doesn't happen in any other country either. And so what I'm doing in this book is I'm going around to other countries like us, rich industrialized democracies, and see how they do it. Somehow, Mary Charlotte, they managed to cover everybody with very good results, usually better health care results than we have. And they spend half as much per capita on health care. So how come they get better results and spend less? That's what my book is about. How do you do that?
You made a Frontline documentary last year called Sick Around the World. And I guess your book is probably an expansion of that to some extent. And you went to Germany, Taiwan, Switzerland, Great Britain, and Japan. You looked at how each healthcare system works. First of all, how did you choose that selection of countries?
Well, as I said in my book, I'm looking at countries like us that we could copy from. I'm not looking at Cuba. We'll never do what Cuba has done. I'm not looking at Russia because we'll never be a country like Russia. But I'm looking at industrialized democracies and countries that we could emulate. And the reason we went to those five, I went to 10 countries for the book, but the reason we went to the doctor in those five countries is, well, first of all, my family lived in Britain and Japan, so we use the healthcare system there. I know those pretty well. I know the language in both Britain and Japan, although the Brits speak kind of a weird English. But
you can understand.
Yeah. But basically, there are models. There are different models for providing healthcare, and I'm going to discuss this in the speech I'm going to give in Santa Fe in April. We tried to find different examples of the various models of healthcare. So Taiwan uses the Canadian kind of model, and Britain has its own model. Germany has a model of its own, and Japan uses that too, and Switzerland switched to that. So we were looking for countries like us, a couple of countries that I'd lived in and taken my kids to the doctor there, and countries that could be a model for the U.S.
So Great Britain, one of the things that I think makes it difficult to establish a productive dialogue, at least sometimes in the media and among politicians, when you start talking about healthcare, is people say Great Britain and then other people say socialized medicine and then the conversation's over.
Exactly. That's absolutely true in America. It's not just Britain. Many Americans think all the other countries are socialized medicine, big government, nanny state kind of medicine. That's absolutely not true. It's just not the case. Some countries do have a system where the government owns the hospitals and provides the medicine and pays for the medicine. I'd call that socialized medicine, and Britain is an example of that. But many other industrialized democracies cover everybody with high-quality care using private docs, private hospitals, and private insurance plans, and they still spend half as much as we do. And that's why I set out to write the book, How You Do That.
So what do they do in Britain? I mean, it's their whole health system is paid through taxation. Is that right?
The basic rule in Britain is you should go your whole life and never have a doctor bill. And about 97% of all the people in Britain do live their entire life and never pay a doctor bill or a hospital bill. because they view healthcare like a public library, or like the fire department. When you need the service, you get it. You don't pay because you pay through taxes. They definitely pay for healthcare in Britain, although they only pay about half as much per capita as we do. But they pay, but they pay through taxes. When we lived there, we lived in London and we moved there. And one of the first things you notice when you live in London is it's expensive. It's just as expensive as all get out. And then on top of the high prices, they add the sales tax to everything you buy, including food, 17.5%.
Good heavens.
What's the sales tax in New Mexico? 7% or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. 8%. So more than double in Britain on everything you buy. And get this, Mary Charlotte, because they're in a recession right now in Britain, they decided to do some tax relief. So for 1 year, temporarily, they cut the sales tax. It's only 15%.
Right.
Anyway, so my wife and I were thinking, whoa, 17.5%. And actually in Europe, that's fairly cheap. In Sweden, that's 25%. But anyway, we were ticked off about this. It's expensive anyway. And then here's what happened. We had been in Britain about 5 days. We hadn't even unpacked the boxes. And one of my kids got a bad infection on her ear, swollen, pus flowing, really bad pain. And we didn't have a doctor. We knew nothing. We didn't know where the hospital was, you know. So we went out and got in one of those big London black cabs. And I said to the cab driver, look at this girl's ear. What do I do? And he took us to a hospital. And we went into the casualty ward. That's what they call the emergency room, the casualty ward. And the nurse came over, figured out which of us was, it was pretty obvious which of us needed a doctor, took her in a room, waited 10 minutes maybe. A doctor came, lanced this swelling, drained the pus. My daughter came out beaming. She felt great, you know, and you can imagine how her parents felt. You know, this daughter had been cured. And I went over to the head nurse. She's called Matron in Britain. I went over to Matron and pulled out my checkbook. So if you took your child to the emergency room in America with a seriously infected ear, what would you pay?
Oh, it's, I mean, that's
400,
the thing.
$500,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, or more. You might pay $1,000.
Fine. And I would have paid that. I mean, they cured my child. I felt great about it. And Matron says to me, oh, no, 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 you may put away your checks. We don't do it that way here.
Yeah.
And we were walking out of this hospital where we got great treatment free. And my wife said to me, now I see why we pay the 17.5%.
Right.
So you do pay. But as a matter of fact, it nets out that Brits pay less than Americans do. And everybody gets treated and they have better health results. So that's the point of my book. How do you do that?
We're talking to author and journalist T.R. Reid. His upcoming book is called The Healing of America. And that book is not out yet, but the DVD from which I learned everything I know about T.R. Reid and his comparative healthcare analysis is available to you, ladies and gentlemen, listeners to KSFR, donors to KSFR, with a $75 contribution. The number to do that is 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393.
Yeah, good morning. I was looking into these issues about healthcare this morning, and I came across on the Health Action New Mexico website a quote from Martin Luther King, of all forms of inequality, injustice in healthcare is the most shocking and inhumane.
And that's from a civil rights leader who is focused on race, but of course race plays a role in healthcare as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to make sure that everyone is part of this system and that all methods are applied so that we get the best health for the people of the United States.
And we'd like to get a report from the control room.
Hey, well, here it is. We have a number of people to thank. Thank goodness. George Velasquez, good friend of KSFR from PBA.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Annette Fox, thanks to Eva. Annette Fox, thank you very much. Danny Kopp. Danny, thank you very much. Roger Atkins. This is nice. Roger Atkins. Thanks, Roger. Mary Ann Redding. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
And Beth Jones, who is a big fan of jazz and the BBC here. And Mary Charlotte, of course.
Well, we want to thank you all, and we want to thank all the people who listen regularly to KSFR and who listen regularly to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And the thing that we have talked about on this program is how many people are dependent on public radio. I don't want to call it an addiction, because addiction raises questions of drugs or things like that. But in a way, there are people who almost can't get through their day without listening to the radio, because you get things that are like vitamins. They're like medicine. They're like nourishment for the mind, for the soul, for the heart. And we're talking today with T.R. Reid, who's going to be, by the way, in Santa Fe, talking in a benefit for KSFR and the Presbyterian Medical Center. And we are really looking forward to that. It's on the 28th of April. I think tickets are already on sale, so you can go ahead and find out about that. And it's going to be at the Lenzic. But T.R. Reid is talking about the medicine that all of us need and the healthcare system that is in crucial need of reforming. 428-1393 is the number. Hey, Jamie, you listen to public radio.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful resource, actually. You know, we really need to make sure that public radio stays alive and well in this country. It's a way for us to find out information apart from the corporate media. I think, you know, the more local news, the more information that that people really need to get through their days, that's all going to come through various forms of public radio, such as KSFR.
428-1393 is the number, and we are going to go back now to T.R. Reid, 505-428-1393. And if you're calling from out of area, the number is 866-907-5737, 806-907-KSFR. Japan and Taiwan are known for having no waiting times at all. You can walk into any doctor's office and get treatment.
Yeah, in Japan, we lived in Japan, and I have a bum shoulder, and it was hurting me pretty badly. And I was just kind of asking around and said, I really need an orthopedic specialist to look at my shoulder. And, you know, people said to me, it's a hierarchical country. They know who's number one. And they said, well, really, the best orthopedic surgeon in Japan is this Dr. Nakamichi. He's at the famous Keio University Hospital. And, you know, he'd be the best guy you could see. So I call Dr. Nakamichi's office, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was a Thursday. Could I get an appointment? And the receptionist says, well, yeah, but just come on in. You might have to wait a while. So I go in there and I wait about 20 minutes and I'm in to see Nakamichi, the best orthopedic surgeon in Japan. Yeah, you've got a bad problem there. Let's take some x-rays. You know, I could recommend surgery. You might be a good choice for surgery on this. Well, when could you do it? It's a Thursday, right? And he says, tomorrow's booked up. How about someday next week? So, yeah.
And he's apologizing and you're
happy.
Yeah.
They're incredibly sorry if they make you wait 5 minutes. So, and Taiwan, too. And what happened there is they just have enough doctors and they've put enough money into facilities, into, you know, surgery wards, et cetera, so that people don't wait. And people get very ticked off if they have to wait. Yeah, they've done it differently.
Now, Japan doesn't have the same thing that Great Britain has. They have health insurance. Everybody has to sign up for health insurance. But then if you can't afford it, the government kicks in.
Yeah, that's right. That's a standard model around the world. You get health insurance from your employer. Unlike in America, if you lose your job or leave your job, you don't lose your insurance. The government takes over until you get a new job. If you can't afford insurance, then the government pays the premium and covers it. And everybody has to get insurance. I don't know if you remember, but in last year's election, Obama and Hillary Clinton argued about this mandate that everybody has to get insurance. And one of the questions is, well, how do you enforce it? How do you make people get insurance? They have a really good answer to that in Japan. In Japan, everybody's supposed to have insurance. There's a very small number of people, a tenth of 1% of the population, maybe 100,000 people, don't have health insurance. One of them is a friend of mine, incidentally. He feels like he's a criminal. But the deal is, if you go to the doctor and you're sick, they check to see if your insurance is paid up. And if you haven't paid, first they make you pay all of last year's premiums before you can get treated. So you're kind of taking a big chance, and therefore most people get insurance. The other really interesting mindset that I think is important is in Japan and most of those countries, they feel that buying health insurance is a matter of personal responsibility. And it's absolutely true. Everybody needs to be responsible for preserving her own health. And the only way you can have a healthcare system that covers everybody at an affordable price is if people take care of themselves. They try to eat carefully. They try to exercise. And in those countries, they feel that part of personal responsibility is buying insurance, whether you feel sick or not.
Now, another dimension to all of this is that in Japan and in other places, too, there are mechanisms by which the price of healthcare and the price of pharmaceuticals is controlled. And because of these controls, I mean, I was really struck by the fact that in Japan, an MRI costs less than $100.
Is that amazing? Yeah. That's what I'm getting at there when I said they cover everybody, they have a high quality of care, and they spend a lot less. Different countries have different mechanisms for this, but I'm a brilliant reporter, right? I lived in Japan and I figured out the secret of how Japan provides health care for everybody with very good health statistics, better than ours, and spends half as much. You know how? They shaft the doctors and they shaft the hospitals. They have a really stingy payment scale. And it's not a single payer system. They have 3,500 insurance plans in Japan, but it's a unified system. It's a coordinated system of payment. One thing about this is it's vastly simpler. A doctor only has to have one form in the office.
Right.
You know, an American doctor has 70 or 80 different forms and rules. And so it's vastly simpler and cheaper in that regard. But if you have one payment system, that's the only place the doctor can sell her service, right? So guess what? The payer gets to set the price. They negotiate every 2 years in Japan with the doctor's union, but all the power, all the negotiating power is on the side of the payer, of the health ministry.
And yeah. The health ministry represents the people, essentially.
Yeah, that's what they do. So as you saw in our film, last year I had an MRI on my neck in Denver. I live in Denver, and it was $1,234. And when we were in Japan, I saw the doctor we were with had a pretty close to the same MRI machine. And I said, gee, how much would you charge me for my neck here, you know, doing an MRI on my neck? And he opens his payment scale. It's issued to him. You know, it's like a telephone book. Let's see. That would be 9,800 yen, $98. So I then said to the health minister, as you saw in our film, I don't understand this. It's a $1,200 procedure. Why would a doctor do it for $98? And the minister says, you seem to forget he has no other place to sell his service if he wants to. So that raises the question, how can doctors afford this? How can you give a $1,200 procedure for $98 and still feed your family, right? And I think there's a totally fascinating result from this. In America, the healthcare industry says, well, gee, if you cut our prices, you would cut innovation. And we wouldn't be able to invent all these great new devices that keep people alive. In Japan, where they have these very strict price controls, the doctors went to the makers of MRI machines or MRI scanners, and two of the biggest in the world are Toshiba and Hitachi, Japanese companies. And they said, we can't pay $450,000 for this MRI machine. That's what GE charges, what most
right.
people charge. Because we'll never make our money back at $98 a scan. And so they pressured Toshiba and Hitachi to make much cheaper, simpler MRI machines without all the bells and whistles on the GE machine. They cost about $75,000, less than a fifth of what American doctors pay. If you have that machine, then you can give an MRI for $98. And get this. Now those Japanese makers are exporting their cheaper MRI scanners all over the world. It's
right.
been a huge boon for Japan. So this is the opposite of what we hear in America. We gotta charge high prices to generate innovation. In Japan, it was the pressure from above to keep the price down that generated the innovation.
We're talking to author and journalist T.R. Reid. His upcoming book is called The Healing of America. And you can get a copy of the really fabulous Frontline documentary that we were talking about and that he did, went to 5 different countries. In the book, he's going to be talking about 10 different countries, for making a contribution right now to KSFR, calling 428-1393, 428-1393, in the area code 505. Any thanks from the control room?
There certainly is. Denise Johnson.
Thank you.
And Gerald Fried, who loves the whole idea of public radio.
Thank you. Thanks to both of you. And let's get those phones ringing over in the pledge room. We've got wonderful people who are waiting for your call. I am waiting for your call. 428-1393. And I'm here with Dr. Jamie Cobb, who is listening with great interest.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, it's very interesting to hear how other countries have figured out ways to solve these problems of universal health care. I think it's just a matter of time before we figure out good solutions that will work here in the United States.
And I'd like to make a call out to everybody who is working in healthcare in any capacity, whether you be working for an insurance company, whether you be working in the hospital, in a clinic, as a massage therapist, as an acupuncturist. All these people are contributing in their own ways. And as we will hear, the whole question of insurance is one that other people have really solved in other countries. They've put their minds to it. They've seen that there's national crisis. And they have made choices which at the moment seem difficult and then in the long run really worked out for those countries. 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. And that is KSFR's pledge drive. You know, we give this number about 4,000 times per second, twice a year, and then we don't do it at all for the rest of the time. And the reason is because we really take pride in being non-commercial radio. Even the few underwriting spots we have are few and far between. It's all about the show, and it's all about doing it in a way that is for the community and by the community and geared toward the actual needs. We're not trying to of the community. We're not trying to sell you something at all. It's the opposite. We're trying to open up a space for public conversation that's outside the realm of commerce. Twice a year we ask you to help us pay our bills, but that's it. 428-1393 is the number. And that's the 505 area code. We now have two area codes in New Mexico, 505 and 575. If you're calling from the 575 area code and you don't want to make a long-distance call, call 1-866-907-5737. 1-866-907-KSFR. We're going to go back to T.R. Reed right now, and stay tuned. By the way, the interview that you're hearing right now is very abridged because we needed to give time to give the phone number and to ask you to call. If you would like a copy of the whole interview, which has a lot of good stuff in it, it's about 50 minutes, you can give us a call and get a copy of that by making a pledge to KSFR. Just ask your wonderful pledge people about that. Okay, we're going to go back now to the program. I think it's important to talk about in the United States, apropos of what you were just saying, who's getting rich and who isn't. So when you graduate from college and you decide to go to professional school, some people become teachers and some people become doctors. And doctors make, what, 5, 10, 15 times, 20 times as much as teachers, depending on
right,
their specialty
yes.
here in the
yes.
United States.
Yeah.
In Japan and in Germany, doctors at this point are not getting rich. They're living good lives. They're probably making
yeah.
more than people in other kinds of service jobs. But they are not wealthy people with great big cars and estates and multiple houses and all that kind of thing.
They don't drive a Lexus to the country club. That's exactly right. The doctor whom we spent some time with in Tokyo makes about as much as a mid-level executive his age at Toyota would make. You know, or, you know, a mid-level insurance company executive or government employee. Teachers do very well in Japan. You know, those Confucian societies really honor teachers. So teachers get very well paid in Japan, about the same as a doctor. But no, these are not really rich people in other countries. But, you know, I know a lot of doctors, American doctors. Most doctors got into this because they kind of like science and they want to help people. And yeah, of course, everybody would like to make more money, but that's not their driving motivation. We produce a breed of doctors in America who start off with a $200,000 debt from medical school, so money does become important to them. We have very, very high malpractice premiums, vastly higher than any other country. So we kind of force doctors to worry about these economic situation. which these are problems that doctors overseas don't get.
For example, as you point out in the documentary, in Germany, they pay $0 for their medical education. So they come out of medical school debt-free. It's vastly different.
Yeah, that's true all over Europe. That's true, and basically true in Japan, too. And then their expectation is different. They don't expect to make $450 a year. Are they satisfied? You know, Mary Charlotte, I've been a foreign correspondent, and I've always found everywhere in the world farmers don't make enough money. I've never met a farmer who's paid enough for the work he does, and same for doctors. It's very rare to meet a doctor who says, yeah, I make enough. I'm certain that's true for newspaper reporters. We're all underpaid. There's no question about that. But basically, doctors overseas make a lot less than Americans do, and they're just as happy. They're serving people. And in many ways, they're happier because they're working in a system that provides care to everybody.
The inequality of our system is something that each of these other countries has really tried to address. And one of the things that was so striking was that both Germany and Switzerland really took on healthcare reform and made some big changes. Switzerland did it, I guess, in the 90s, and it was a very close vote, but they mandated that everybody buy insurance and, you know, the government buy insurance for the poor and so on. And now they have this model, which when it was voted on in referendum, half the people in the country were ambivalent about. Now everybody, conservative and liberal, is into it.
Exactly right. The fundamental difference in Switzerland was until the mid-90s, they had a system like ours where the health insurance companies were for-profit. And if you're a for-profit company, as we said earlier, one thing you don't want to do is cover anybody who's sick. You know, that could cost you money. And they got to the point where the insurance companies were turning people down in Switzerland because of pre-existing condition. And guess what, Mary Charlotte? This will shock you. Fasten your seatbelt. They got to the point where 5% of the people in Switzerland couldn't buy health insurance. Now, the United States is at 17% today, right? But 5% was totally unacceptable. So they revamped the system, and one of the most important changes they made was the health insurance companies couldn't make a profit anymore. They exist now to pay people's bills, not to make a profit. The insurance companies fought that like crazy. They had a national referendum. That's how they do things in Switzerland. And the bill barely passed, as you said. That was 10 years ago. And now everybody likes it. And in our film, we talked to the president. The thing about Switzerland, Mary Charlotte, is, you know, it's a country of 8 million. And we came there and said, we're making a movie for American PBS public broadcasting. And, you know, in Europe, the public broadcaster is the big broadcaster. It's bigger than NBC or CBS. So if you come there and say, we're from public broadcasting in America, whoa, you must be important, you
right.
know. So we went to Switzerland, and in most countries, we went there and said, could we speak to your health minister? We went to Switzerland, and they said, well, why don't you interview our president?
Oh, you know? My goodness.
And then they said, and, you know, why don't you interview last year's president because she's now the health minister. So we talked to two presidents of Switzerland. But the guy that you saw interviewed is a Republican. He's a businessman from the pro-business conservative party. And he originally opposed this plan to take the profit out of insurance. And I said, how's it working? He said, oh, we'll never go back. This is vastly better because now we have everybody covered. And it's very, very important in our society that we treat everybody equally on certain things. And, you know, the things you listed, everybody gets one vote. Everybody gets a free education. Everybody has access to a reasonably priced rail ticket because everybody in Switzerland travels by train. That's a human right there. And everybody who needs it has access to a doctor at a reasonable price. And we had this terrible situation in Switzerland. 5% of our people couldn't go to the doctor. How could any country live that way? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, we're at 17% and we're doing it.
So when we look at healthcare reform in the United States, we have all of these models, Germany, Switzerland, Japan, Great Britain, and actually Taiwan is an interesting example that you give because they became a wealthy country very rapidly, and they just decided that they were going to take the best of everybody else's system, put them together into their system, and they have an extraordinary situation where they have the lowest administrative costs in the world, 2%.
Right, yeah.
No denied claims. They've got a working system that they constructed from the ground up.
Yeah, I would say they pretty much took the Canadian system. I'm going to describe this in this talk I'm going to give in Santa Fe. But they looked around the world and were looking for a healthcare system. And as you saw in the film, the guy who was in charge of this search did come to America and look at the American system. And I said, why didn't you copy us, you know? He said, oh, no.
And he politely said, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. He was being polite about it. Not a chance, he said. Isn't your country the one that leaves 47 million people without coverage? Well, yeah, but yeah, no, they didn't want that. The system they took was the Canadian system, and the basics of that are the people who provide health care, doctors, hospitals, labs, are private businesses, but the payment is all government. This is exactly what happens in Canada. And it's really worked well in Taiwan, and the reason was when they instituted this in the mid-90s, they had about 45% of their country had no insurance, you know, and couldn't go to the doctor. So all of a sudden, with the government covering everybody, they had huge demand. I mean, everybody could now go to the doctor. And so supply provides where demand is there, the supply. So they opened all these new hospitals and clinics. Lots of doctors came from the mainland of China. And so they have a plethora. They have enough doctors now that the doctors are quite competitive. You can always get in. The prices are pretty low. And, yeah, as you say, the administrative costs. The government always said we're going to keep administrative costs to 2%. You remember in American health insurance, the administrative costs are 25%.
Right.
1 year in Taiwan, the administrative costs went to about 2.4%. And the opposition party trashed the government for wasting money.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking to journalist and foreign correspondent T.R. Reid. His forthcoming book is called The Healing of America. And you're listening to KSFR, Santa Fe Radio Cafe, broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. This Frontline documentary can be yours for a contribution to KSFR. So can the CD of the program you're hearing, only the unabridged version, which has about 18 or 20 minutes more material than what we are playing today. Dr. Jamie Cobb is with us here, and one of the things that I learned from listening to and watching T.R. Reid is that in Germany, for example, a lot of complementary medicine is actually paid for. What are some of the things that you see in your own practice here in the U.S.?
Well, one of the things I see is a need for more education as far as nutrition, as far as exercise, and by working at sort of that baseline level with methods that can, you know, prevent disease, can promote health in the first place, I think, you know, we can get a much better use of our healthcare dollars. I mean, a lot of talk is made about how much money is spent on administering these universal healthcare systems, but really, I think, you know, cost cutting has to start with promoting health in the first place.
428-1393 is the number. 505-428-1393, and we're going to take a little report from the control room.
Certainly. We have Ellen and Paul Biederman
thank.
They love you, Mary Charlotte, and Amy Goodman and Youth
thank
Radio.
You.
And Billy Turney, who also, boy, you have a great amount of fans.
Oh, thank you. Thanks to all of you.
Howard Gross.
Thank you, Howard.
Reese Peterson, who is dedicated to the board of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust.
And thanks to all of you and those who haven't called in yet, 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. So, Jamie, part of the key is prevention.
Absolutely.
What kind of prevention, what are the for example, environmental factors that you see, things we're eating or perhaps breathing?
Yeah. prevention is really important, and, you know, we've got to get the toxics out of the environment. You know, there's a study came out recently this year showing that there's mercury in high fructose corn syrup. You know, a lot of soda pops, things like
that. How did it get there?
Well, it's part of how they process and, you know, they process the corn sugar so that it has a relatively higher ratio of fructose to glucose. Doesn't mean it doesn't have a high glycemic index. You know, in fact, it does have a very high glycemic index, which tends to lead people into diabetes and metabolic syndrome. And so, yeah, I mean, basically, I think if we look at our environment and what we're putting into our bodies, really we're going to get a much better result as far as our health care. We've got to keep the heavy metals, the toxics like mercury and arsenic out of the diet. They really should not be in there in the first place.
Arsenic is not one of my favorite foods.
It's not a top one. As well as pesticide residues, hormones that they're feeding to animals, all in the name of making a higher profit is not necessarily making a healthier food. Basically the fuel that we put into our bodies makes a huge difference as far as what kind of health is going to result.
428-1393 is the number. Please call right now. Make a contribution. Get a copy of the disc either disc, the CD or the DVD or both. We have a special deal if you want to take both of those for making a contribution to KSFR. We're going to go back now to T.R. Reed, and we'll be back in a little while. So when we look at health care reform here and we hear people in presidential elections and in local elections talking about, or in congressional, talking about health care reform, are people like Hillary Clinton and Obama and all these others, are they looking at other countries and how they do it?
No, I don't think when they were talking about health care in the 2008 election, they didn't look at these foreign models. And I think one reason is this mindset in America that if you go overseas, it must be socialized medicine. At one point in the Republican presidential primaries, Rudy Giuliani said, government-run medicine like they have in Britain where government owns the hospitals and government employs the doctors, that's un-American. Well, I just want to point out that the healthcare system the United States of America has for veterans and for Native Americans is exactly like the British system. The government owns the hospitals and employs the doctors. So if it's un-American, how come we provide it to our America's military heroes? I've never figured that one out myself.
Well, also, un-American is just such a 1950s kind of McCarthy-era term that doesn't even mean anything. It's just used to arouse.
Do you know where the term socialized medicine came from? Well, in 1947, Harry Truman proposed a healthcare system to cover everybody. And the American Medical Association, the doctors were afraid that then government would dictate what they did and that they wouldn't be able to treat their patients independently because government would be in charge. And so they launched this huge campaign against it, and they hired a PR firm in Chicago. And the PR firm said, Harry Truman's healthcare plan would be socialized medicine. Nobody knew what that term meant. But it sounded like the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and this is right at the worst part of the Cold War. So the idea was if you wanted to provide health care for your neighbor when he's sick, you're a communist.
Right.
Right? And that has been an incredibly powerful term in American political jargon, socialized medicine. Even though I ask people when I give talks, somebody define it. Nobody really knows what it means. Well, government's going to treat my hangnail, like that people don't really know. But it's a bad term in America. And that's one of the reasons people don't look overseas. And one of the key findings of my new book is, no, it's not all socialized medicine. As I said, lots of countries cover everybody with private docs, private hospitals, and private insurance. If I could just point out, I think Germany is less socialized than the United States because in the U.S., when people turn 65, everybody goes to government, almost everybody goes to government health insurance, Medicare. In Germany, you stay with your private insurer all the way, cradle to grave. To me, that's less socialized than America.
But the big difference is health insurance companies being not-for-profit.
That's a huge difference. It's not the only difference, but that's a very important difference.
We're talking to journalist and author T.R. Reed. His forthcoming book is called The Healing of America. This is the KSFR Pledge Drive. The number is 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or if you're calling from out of area, 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. How do they raise money for public radio in other countries? We've heard all about how they do health care in other countries.
Yeah, Mary Charlotte, I'm a big public radio listener, and I hate it when they say we're going to temporarily interrupt this program and plead for money from you guys, so send in a check. But you know what? It's even worse in other countries. I mean, we're getting off easy in the United States. So we lived in Japan, And NHK is the public broadcaster, is the biggest broadcaster in Japan. It has 4 TV stations and I think 7 radio stations now. And here's what happens. Once a year, a guy comes and knocks on your door and says, yeah, by the way, you owe $200 for your annual NHK fee, but it's voluntary.
Oh, right? My goodness.
And $200, well, gee, you know. And if you give him the $200, he puts a sticker on your door that says, this person is a good citizen who has helped all of us by supporting NHK. And if you don't have the sticker on the door, then when your friends come along, you know, it's a shame-based society, they say, oh, you're not helping out. Do you ever listen to NHK? Well, of course, everybody does, you know. Oh, so you're a freeloader. That's pretty nasty. I might be better to have them just come on the radio and say, send a check, you know. And then in Britain, this is really amazing. In Britain, anytime you buy a radio or TV, there's a $100 tax attached, which goes to the BBC, which is their public broadcaster.
Whom we love.
Yeah, BBC's on KSFR. The Beeb is so rich, you know, their budget is over $2 billion a year because of this. But if you didn't happen to buy a TV or radio this year, you still owe. You still owe. And it's not, BBC is not run by the government. It's a separate corporation. But, yeah, they say you owe us $100 a year. I think it's £100, which is now about $150 a year. And their theory is everybody either watches or listens to the BBC. There are commercial stations, but it's pretty hard to live in Britain and not watch the Beeb, you know. So here's what they do. Are you ready for this? If you don't pay, if you don't send in the check, then you're liable to a fine. And the first year's fine is $1,000. If they nail you 2 years, it's $10,000 for not paying. And the argument against this is, well, I never listened to the Beeb, so I don't have to pay. If you've never listened, if you don't have a radio or TV, you're fine, right? And if you do have a TV and you can say, I only listen to the sports station or Sky, that's Rupert Murdoch's station, if you could convince anybody, then you wouldn't have to pay. But when they charge people the fine, nobody has ever been able to convince a jury in Britain that they don't watch the Beeb because everybody does. And then get this. Are you ready for this? They're even more ruthless. So they have these trucks with a rotating antenna on top, and they go out to a neighborhood and go around and see which houses are receiving the BBC signal at that frequency.
So they can tell.
Yeah, so they can tell. And then they check, has number 37 Primrose Lane paid its annual tax? And if you don't, they charge you $1,000. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I just say, when KSFR says, please send us a check to help out, you're getting off easy. Send them the check.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's how it works over there. I live in Colorado. I married a Denver native, and Colorado Public Radio is a very good station. It doesn't have as much local content, locally generated content, as this station right here in Santa Fe. I'm quite impressed at the effort, how ambitious KSFR is in producing all this local station like your program, Mary Charlotte. And Colorado Public Radio, just like here, 4 times a year, I don't know how often you do it, you know, they say, we're sorry to interrupt the programming you love, but please send a check. And then they talk and gab and blah, blah, you know, like that. And everybody hates it. But as I say, I send them the check because I'm a listener and I just feel I ought to do it.
And we do it only twice a year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really? So see,
you're getting
here,
off
they're
easy,
getting off
ladies
easy.
And gentlemen.
Yeah. Send in the check. Do you happen to have a truck with a rotating antenna to spot people who are listening and not paying?
You know, we just haven't quite put that in our budget yet.
Yeah. You better send in the check, people, or they're going to come after you.
T.R. Reid is an American foreign correspondent for The Washington Post. He's the author of 9 books, and his upcoming book is called The Healing of America. Thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Mary Charlotte, it was great. Thank you. You.
Thank you for all, for everybody for calling in, and those who still want to get, until the end of the news today, until the end of the BBC and local news, you can still get a copy of the Frontline documentary by T.R. Reid. which he lives in Denver, and I was talking to a friend in Colorado, and I said, have you ever seen this? She goes, oh, yeah, up in Denver, they play it all the time because he's a local. But I don't think they play it that much around here for whatever reason. So you can get it by calling 428-1393, 428-1393 in the area code 505. Do we have any thank yous?
We certainly do. We have a half a dozen here. Robert Funkhauser, Dean Williamson, Elisa Gent. Oh, yeah, thanks. And Cliff Thomas, and Miriam Jawar, who absolutely loves you, Mary Charlotte.
Oh, there's thank you. We so love her, too.
All right. Well, you give so much detail that she doesn't have to read the book. How's that?
And yes, you do. No.
And, of course, Anonymous called, who absolutely adores you, and Helga, and Friday afternoon Latin music.
Yay. Thanks to all of you. It's been a good morning. We can make it work. Hey, are you going to Jamie Cobb, Dr. Jamie Cobb, when you go back to your practice today, ask all your patients if they've made a contribution to KSFR?
Absolutely. We've got to make sure that they're getting their money into KSFR. We've got to support this radio station. It's an amazing resource for Santa fans.
428-1393 is the number. I'm delighted to bring you this program every day, and I've learned so much from doing it, and I hope that the community does too. If you do, well, yay. 428-1393 is the number, and you know, we don't have here, I'm sure that there are well-funded commercial radio stations and television stations that have a truck with a rotating antenna on it, or certainly your cable stations who are monitoring what their customers watch and don't watch, or their satellite dish. We are a simple, low-tech radio station, and we don't do any of that stuff. What we do is we just bring you good programming. That's what we're here for. No bells and whistles, just... Hey, how about mixed metaphors? No bells and whistles, just meat and potatoes. Dr. Jamie Cobb, thank you so much for being with us here on KSFR.
Thank you, MC. It was really a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that this radio station exists.
So, one more time, I'm going to give the phone number 505-428-1393. And if you want to make a contribution, the phone volunteers are ready. If you get a busy signal or a message machine, just hang up and call back a few minutes later, and you will be fine. You will get through. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thank you so much to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today, to all the other engineers, to the incredible staff, and to the wonderful volunteers in the phone room and the producers to KSFR, the many, many, almost countless people who make this station what it is, including you, the listener. 428-1393, once again, is the number. Please give us a call. We are so grateful, and it's really a nice time of year when we get to actually sort of chat and have some feedback from the listeners and have you be an even more active part of the station. So give us a call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hasta la vista. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz with Lauren Camp. Hasta la vista, baby. Ciao. Ciao, Jamie.
Ciao.